Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us today is Senator Tori Westrum, talking a little bit about the omnibus ag bill here in Minnesota. What are some of the big ticket items that you're keeping an eye on through there as it moves its way through conference committee?
Well, Whitney, we're watching multiple things. The Senate Ag and Rural Broadband Bill was a much better bill than the House of Representatives. Some concerns that we had from the Senate perspective are some of the bans on treated seeds and other technologies that farmers over the past decade or couple of decades really depend on for their farm. Treated seeds for pest control, for weed control, would be banned under the House of Representatives agriculture bill. It's really being written by Metro legislators that have a war on agriculture, and that's a big concern. The Senate did not have any of that language in, and we worked hard to keep it out so farmers can farm and do what they do best using technologies that really help them on the farm and are also safe and approved by the EPA and Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And so that's where we want to keep farming for both crop farming and livestock. And so that's one of the sticking points in our conference committee. But we're also looking at investing in many different aspects to help more value-added opportunities continue in Minnesota for farmers, and that's through biofuels, more biofuel infrastructure with $4.5 million a year to help local petroleum retailers to update their pumps if they're not in compliance with an E15 or greater blend of ethanol. So the more we can get that out in the marketplace, the more we can sell homegrown fuel like ethanol and biodiesel through our hometown retailers. And that's a big push in the Senate bill as well. Some bio incentives to help continue more innovation in biofuels, the next generation of biofuels, as well as other types of foods and products made out of agriculture products, whether it's corn, whether it's wood fiber or hemp or other things that really help expand and open up markets. Soybeans is another area that continues to grow with new market opportunities and product usage. So we want to keep promoting that, and that's in the Senate bill as well. And two last things, expanding more meat production or meat cutting for small and mid-size butcher shops so they can expand and have opportunities, as well as more training for employees, just folks that are trained in meat cutting. So we're starting that through our high schools, through FFA programs, as well as local colleges. We now have recently had two colleges take on a meat cutting course as a curriculum so students can get that degree and have more people out to work in our butcher shops that can help process local raised livestock and sell locally and across the state. And, of course, they can do that through the Internet, and that's another big part of this agriculture and rural broadband bill, is finishing out the rural broadband build-out to the unserved areas with high-speed Internet and using that Internet for marketing for farmers, for small businesses, and people to have the remote work option from home if they want to live in rural Minnesota and their employer has a position that allows them to work from home. It really opens up and unleashes a lot of opportunities for people to live in rural Minnesota and thrive in rural Minnesota, as well as students to get their education through high school, partly online or through colleges. And so that's why the rural broadband is something I've supported and pushed so hard here in the Senate. And we've got $100 million in our bill that we're going to work hard for to prevail with in conference committee and make sure we can get that build out completed in the next foreseeable future in Minnesota and make sure all of rural Minnesota is served with high speed internet.
And there was some pretty significant differences in funding for the grain indemnity fund. What are you guys hoping to get accomplished there? I know the Senate was a lot bigger dollar amount than what we were seeing from the House.
Well, that is true. The Senate bill had a $14 million one-time starter infusion of general fund dollars to put in an account for establishing a grain indemnity fund for farmers if an elevator would go broke or bankrupt, which we unfortunately have seen off and on, one here, one there, and it really puts some farmers that have grain that they haven't been paid for in those elevators in a real financial bind. And so the grain indemnity fund would be set up. However, the drawback of the grain indemnity fund is there will be a new sales tax or a new tax, 0.2% on all grain sold to the elevators by farmers, and they will have to pay for that. The initial infusion of $14 million in the Senate was to avoid that for a few years at least until the fund would drop below $8 or $9 million. Then they would have to start that assessment or fee or tax on the farmers when they sell their grain at the elevator. And so that's what's made it some controversial, Whitney. But the current provision does give every farmer an opt-out. Originally, it was being pitched as a voluntary program, which is what I would like to see. It may become a true voluntary program, so farmers could either be in or out. And if they want the insurance or the indemnity fund, they would be paying that assessment on their grain sales. The current version does allow farmers to opt out within 12 months of selling their grain, but then the onus is on each farmer to have to do all the paperwork to get their money back as a rebate, and they have to pay it all in to the state and let the state use it for months or up to a year before they get their money back. And so that's the downfall of the grain indemnity fund, but the one-time amount of cash to set the fund up was much stronger in the Senate bill. The House only had $5 million, which would immediately kick in the sales tax on grain sales to build the fund up to at least $9 million.
Something else we've heard a lot of comments from farmers and ranchers as well as other legislators is the paid family leave, paid family and medical leave that was passed in the House. What are your thoughts on that? What are you hearing from constituents and other lawmakers?
Well, there's a lot of concern from both employees that are going to have to pay this new employee tax, as well as employers are going to have to, who are going to have to offer this benefit and charge their employees with this new payroll tax that employees will have to pay, as well as employers will have to match some of that payroll tax, much like an unemployment insurance. So it's essentially setting up a whole new bureaucracy and unemployment insurance, but it's for the benefit of a paid family leave for up to 24 weeks a year, which is half a year of work. And so a lot of small businesses and farmers and employers, as well as employees, are concerned about this because it's not going to be optional. It's going to be a mandated tax and fee out of everybody's paycheck. If it was optional, it would be some better because then everybody could decide their own circumstance and if they want the benefit or not. But it's going to fall on virtually every business, small or large. If a farmer's got a part-time or just a few employees on their farm, most of the year, that it's going to fall on them and their employees to have to now pay this new tax on the on their payroll, and it would give individuals or employees then a paid 60% of their earnings would be paid back to them if they have a family medical leave situation, and or a relative parent or loved one that. A relative that would be sick that they could give care to. And so it's a nice benefit, but somebody does have to pay for it. And it's going to cost about $1.6 billion at least to get this fund started. And so some of that money may come out of the surplus, but it's going to be the payroll tax that employees and employers are going to have to pay if this goes through for a pretty big benefit of 24 weeks out of a year. Lastly, a lot of concerns with it is just the problem of finding enough employees right now for farmers and other small businesses. And now if they have to find replacement employees for a temporary period to replace an employee that takes off up to 12 to 24 weeks, that just adds another burden and problem of management and running your small business or your farming operations. So there are a lot of maybe unintended consequences that go with this, and that's what a lot of people are concerned about, as opposed to not making it optional and mandating it for everybody. So small farms, big farms, everybody would be in the same boat.
Anything else we should be aware of before we let you go?
Well, Whitney, one other thing that's really problematic going through this session and so frustrating for the Republicans, especially when we're one vote short of the majority in the Senate, but the Democrats that have squandered and decided to spend the $18 billion surplus without giving significant tax relief or and significant rebates to the taxpayers that paid it in the first place. We have been fighting to get rid of and eliminate the Social Security tax for all Minnesotans, and that is a provision the Democrats are not going to deliver on, even though they campaigned on it last fall, and they want to spend the entire $18 billion surplus, growing the government budget by 40%, an unsustainable growth, and squandering the opportunity we had to give significant tax relief and Social Security tax relief to all Minnesotans. And that is not happening right now at the state capitol. And it's very concerning that that doesn't become part of the final mix. Out of $18 billion, we ought to be able to find 4 to 6 or 8 billion of that and give it to taxpayers through tax relief. And unfortunately, the DFL leadership and the governor are not going to deliver on any tax relief and spend the entire surplus and really put us in a tough spot 2 and 4 years down the road when you build this kind of money into a budget that's not sustainable long term. Then you know what's going to come next is deficits, and that's always a tougher spot to be. And I wish we'd find a little more fiscal restraint in what we're spending money on at the Capitol right now, and offer tax relief with the surplus to the taxpayers that paid it, and get that passed as well. And it doesn't look like it'll be happening under the Democrat control right now.
Well, thank you, Senator Westrum, for joining us here today. Again, Senator Tori Westrum on the Red River Farm Network.